Hi, I'm Gary Stewart, and welcome to Staff Notes. I work in Cornell University's Office of Community Relations. I'm also a member of the Employee Assembly. Today, my guest is Susan Riley. Susan works up in campus life, and we're glad that she's here. Susan, can you tell us a little about yourself, your hometown, and your job here at Cornell?
Sure. I grew up in Newington, Connecticut, and then left Connecticut to go to college in New Hampshire. I went to Keene State College for my undergrad and majored in journalism. Kind of funny is I had hoped to get involved with TV journalism, and after doing an internship for 3 days, knew that wasn't for me. So I decided that I wanted to stay in student services, got a master's degree in college student personnel, went to UNH for 4 years, University of New Hampshire, and then ended up at Cornell about 14 years ago.
What was the crystallizing moment that you knew TV journalism wasn't for you? Was there something horrible happened at the studio?
They were just a little
embarrassing.
They were a little mean.
They were mean.
Yeah, I think I hung up on someone, and this is back in the day when you had to push a lot of buttons, and someone yelled at me, which in student services we don't do often, if ever. So I thought that was my crystallizing moment. I said I need to do something a little nicer. So.
Well, Staff Notes is really a version of Oprah, where we want people to come on and tell us about their past burdens.
It was awful. But, yeah, so that's how I ended up here eventually.
And your job here at Cornell on a day-to-day basis, I'm sure no 2 days are the same, but what kind of things do you deal with?
Well, and that's why I love working here, because no 2 days are the same. I work in residential programs, so along with many other staff members, we supervise and oversee the folks who live in the residence halls on campus. So as you can imagine, always something new and exciting happening there. In addition to dealing with issues and concerns that come up among students, we plan programs in the residence halls. We also do a lot of planning and training and development of our student staff who live in the residence halls, as well as our professional staff. So there's a lot of time spent with staff getting ready to work with the students who live in the residence halls.
So we talk a lot in terms of beds, and so on campus, how many beds are there? How many buildings are we dealing with? What's the parameters?
So I'm going to say ballpark. We have about 6,000 students who live on campus, and that I think is between both our undergraduate population as well as our professional and graduate population who live on campus as well. So it's a large number of students. In terms of actual number of facilities, I think there's maybe 58 individual buildings. So we have a lot of staff who work with those units. So
you have parents from all 50 states, from dozens of countries, dropping their student off to you folks and saying, please take care of him or her.
Right.
Do they ever reach out to you folks directly and say, what's going on? My son called and said his room was drafted. I mean, what are some of the things that you might deal with?
Yeah, I mean, we get parent phone calls all the time. And over the years, I've noticed, and as many have working with students, the increase in number of phone calls. But we'll get a call from a concerned mother who hasn't heard from her son or daughter in a couple of days. And so we'll track down the son or daughter, you know, do a knock and say, could you please call your mother? You know, things like that. But there are certainly times when it's a more serious issue or concern. If roommates aren't getting along very well, we help mediate those kind of issues. And certainly if a student is feeling stress and pressure at the university, our staff is available, at least as that front line, to try and get folks the resources they need to be as successful here as possible.
So we're taping this in the spring of 2010, and I'm sure in future years, the spring of 2010 will almost achieve a status that will make a lot of us sad in reflection.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people are stepping up to the work at hand. And how is the current challenges on campus with student mental health and related issues affected your operation?
Oh, very directly. You know, as many reported in the news and people have talked about on campus, we had our frontline staff, which would be our student staff, our RAs and our graduate resident advisors, check in on all of the students in the buildings, doing a hey, how are you kind of thing. We followed up with a lot of programs and activities, more to make sure that we're trying to reach out to students who, you know, this is a stressful time of semester, folks are out doing classwork, involved in their activities, so we're trying to do that extra reach out. And so it is very much our staff who are those frontline folks. And then from there, if necessary, we do refer to the many other people on campus who can help if a student is in distress. So it's been a concerted effort by everyone.
And you probably had to find time to wedge in training through all this, like notice and respond things, or is that just part of your the protocols on a yearly basis?
Those are sorts of things that we do regularly. I think that, you know, when you go through, and we did notice and respond for professional staff and our graduate staff in the fall and others as well. During the time of the training, you hope you don't have to use it. And I think once we have tragedies like we did, it heightens like, oh, we need to do more. But we do training all the time on how to make our staff aware of the resources available and how we access those resources. So not new to us, but a heightened awareness was made.
What's interesting, I think, for staff is that, first of all, I think the students need to know, and some might be surprised to know how much the staff cares for them.
Oh, very much so.
But what I think's also been interesting is the staff pays a little more attention to things like notice and respond or mental health issues. Staff members are looking at each other more and mm-hmm. saying, okay, it's okay to reach out to someone and say, are you doing okay? What's mm-hmm. going on with you? Yeah. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, I think that there has been that that little extra attention to each other. And I think it's there all the time. I mean, Cornell's an intense place and we all get caught up in our work. But I think I've noticed a little more of a looking out for each other in the past several weeks and just trying to take those extra few steps to just be a little bit more genuine, even though I think the care was there originally. So,
what goes on campus like prior to an event like Slope Day? So there's going to be a lot of first-year students. This will be their first Slope Day. What sort of front-end information or do you get to the students to maybe tell them, one, to take care of themselves when they're on the slope, and also just their own responsibilities?
So we partner very closely with the health educators in Gannett in particular and others on campus about getting information out to students about, you know, alcohol use and some of those sorts of things. But we try to be prepared for the worst, although expect the best on that day, because I think a lot of students do look forward to the end of classes. I think with the efforts that have been made for Slope Day to be a more a better organized event over the years, I think it's a great event now.
Yeah.
And I've seen it from the days when a little less organized. So I think that we try to let the students know that we're aware of what can happen on Slope Day. We try to talk about things up front, but we also ask them to be responsible and to enjoy themselves, and that we make sure staff are extra available sort of the 24 hours around the event.
So within that small city, if you look at 6,000 students and all the different stakeholders involved in that, there must be sometimes some funny things that happen at your job. Can you think of any?
Yeah. So this goes back a while, and I won't name names, but this was one thing. You know, things get a little tense, get a little stressful, and we had access to a colleague's car keys. So what we did to kind of mess with his head a little bit was to take the car keys and just move the car over like one spot. So you go out and you're like, I thought I parked there. Then the next day you maybe back it in if they had pulled in front ways. So that went on for a couple of days and over a week. And then once that was discovered, yeah, haha, right there.
Right.
You know, another thing that we've done, and it's still happening, is that about 12 years ago at one of these, it was a social gathering, and we did like a present exchange, and there's one present that has gone around for about 12 years now. So that still surfaces.
What is it?
It's a box of popcorn. So it has the popcorn seeds, and it has the two like faux popcorn holders, and it's this awkward big box.
Right, nobody wants it.
Yeah, and it's sitting under my desk right now, so I have to be creative to think about how to get rid of it.
Why don't you just steal someone else's car keys, put the popcorn box out in the parking lot, and run it over and be done with
it. Yeah, we don't want to be merging too many things here. We have to keep, the sacredness of each.
Right, it's sacred, it's sacred stuff.
So anyway, so we do try to have some fun in and among the stressful times.
What do you like to do when you're not working?
Well, this weekend was just an amazing weather weekend, and I'm over the past 4, 5, 6 years have really gotten into gardening and being outside. I have an old house, so puttering, out with the family and dogs, sitting on the porch, doing some reading. I took a Master Gardener course through Cooperative Extension this winter, which was a great wintertime activity. So I'm anxious to get out there and get some things growing. I play softball in the summer still with the Ithaca League. Hang out with friends a lot and family. So yeah, I just really try to take advantage of what Ithaca has to offer, you know, hiking the gorges and doing those sorts of things.
Any affiliations with any local organizations or nonprofits?
So I play softball in town. I'm a member of the Ithaca LGBT Task Force, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Task Force. And I think that's all I'm doing right now. So,
how would you sort of sum up Cornell in terms of LGBT issues? Do you think it's a fairly friendly place to work?
I would say that in terms of people and policies, it's a very friendly place. I think there are still some policy places where we could make some enhancements, and I will be looking forward to, if some of the laws don't change in the next couple of years, to see how we could enhance some of those benefits that Cornell does offer, which is a great start, but there are still some things we can do further.
Yeah. And you live out in the country, right?
Yep, north about 20 miles from here, so yeah.
You got any animals out there?
Yeah, a big old golden retriever, a couple cats, and we're surrounded by cows and others, so it's nice. I like to say I don't have internet, which I think sort of flips people out a little bit, but.
So we always wrap up each show with a bottom line question. If you were president of Cornell for a day, what would you do? How would you spend your time?
You know, besides saving the world and world peace and all that, I think there must be some cool places that the president can access. There must be some tunnels, some buildings that no one else has access to, but he gets to because he's president. I don't know. I would like to see some of those classified places. So I'm just using my imagination here. So,
right.
But in truth, I mean, I think the president has access to people, and it would be really interesting as president to be able to, you know, kind of do what you're doing, is get to know people on a broad level and see how they're feeling about things. Not that he could do that in a whole day, but yeah, so.
Well, I'm sure some of the work that you folks do sometimes might seem thankless, but your staff colleagues appreciate how hard it is, how easy you make it look often, how seamless, when I know it's not seamless behind the scenes. And appreciate your efforts both on campus and off campus, especially with efforts like the University Neighborhoods Council, where you have the perfect attendance award, I believe. So very much appreciated. Thank you, Susan.
Oh, you're welcome, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, the viewer, for once again tuning into Staff Notes. I'm Gary Stewart. See you next time.